Blog Talk Radio.
Today is July 15, 2023. This is Blog Talk Radio. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, and we are taking charge and living life to its fullness. I am your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, and we honor the host today, Dr. Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. And we have an anointed, spirit-filled lesson on today. So let's get right to it. We have some announcements today. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministry, Inc. And you can send that donation to P.O. Box 438411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. Thank you to those that have sent in your donations. They are well appreciated. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you in this continuing month of 2023. And if you're blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text 309-750-7584 or email amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A, M-A-Z. engraceministries@gmail.com. And today, Hope Navigators presents Church Suit. That's Church Substance Use Intervention Team. And they were presenting today at Grandison Temple Church of God in Christ, 5526 South State, where the administrative assistant, Dr. Byron L. Gibbs, is the pastor, the host pastor there. And they will be bringing substance use awareness to the faith community today at 12 o'clock. So if you're not doing anything at 12 o'clock, come on down. Amen. And we are on the air 9 a.m. every Saturday morning. We have an exciting lesson, so please tune in. And if you want to connect to this lesson live, it's http://tobtara.com/s/122476681. Let's get into our lesson explained. Now, the Word of God addresses every aspect of our life. Although we're living in perilous times, God is still in control. The Word in 2 Timothy 3 and 1, it talks about the times we're living in now. Therefore, prepare to hear a word that will captivate your mind and change your life. Christ has come that we might have life more abundantly. This word will illuminate your heart, lift you to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will take you on a journey in the Word that will give you greater peace, greater hope, and bring you closer to Jesus as we set the pace for victory. We are fighting the good fight of faith and using our spiritual weapons. The theme for this month of July is Birth with Benefits. The lesson for this third Saturday in July is Growing in Grace, Developing a Mind Conformed to Christ. Developing a mind focused on the will of God and conforming to God's way of thinking. Therefore, I'm exercising my will, my perceptions, and my views to be Christ-centered. I may live in the world, but I'm heaven-bound. And this is my affirmation. Our text comes from Philippians 2 and 5, and this is the King James Version. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Romans 12 and 2, also the King James Version, and it reads, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ephesians 4:22-24 says that ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I have some definitions. When you talk about developing, developing is to grow or cause to grow and become more mature, advance or elaborate, start to exist, experience or possess. What is the mind? Here are some definitions of the mind. The human consciousness that originates in the brain and is manifested especially in thought, perception, emotions, will, memory, and imagination. The collective conscious and unconscious process in a sentient organism that directs and influences mental and physical behavior. The principle of intelligence, spirit of consciousness regarded as an aspect of reality. The faculty of thinking, reasoning, and applying knowledge. Follow your mind, not your heart. A person of great mental ability, and you can say like the great minds of the century. Individual consciousness, memory, or recollection. I bear the problem in mind. A person or group that embodies certain mental qualities, the medical mind, the public mind. The thought processes, characteristics of a person or group, psychological makeup, the criminal mind. Opinion or sentiment. You can say he changed his mind when he heard all the facts. You can say desires or inclinations. She had a mind to spend her vacation in the desert. Focus of thought, attention. I can't keep my mind on work. A healthy mental state, sanity, losing one's mind. The mind can be divided into the areas of thought, perceptions, emotion, will, memory, and imagination. As a child, if you are told that you are not going to amount to anything, at some point that child believes it and does not amount to anything. There are philosophers that have stated that a person has the ability to think to become the thing that he feels he can. I think, therefore, I am. We become like the things we constantly think about. If we constantly think about worldly things, we end up doing just that. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's Proverbs 23 and 7. So I can think my way into some stuff. That's what is called faith. Romans 12:2 said to renew our minds means to allow God to renew our thought process, to begin to see ourselves as God has made us. We must understand that the word of God must stay in our hearts. But because of sin, there is a war that goes on inside of us. Romans 7:22-25, and this is the New Living Translation. It reads, I love God's laws with all my heart, but there is another law at work within me that is at war with my mind. This law wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is? In my mind, I really want to obey God's laws, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. So since there is a law of carnality that is always present, I have to seek to walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Romans 8:6-7 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But if I can keep my mind on things that are honest, a good report. Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So I can do the things I think about. We also must remember that not only is there a fight within, but also outside of us as well. How can we live in a world that is evil, corrupted, and has little mercy? If this world was loving and kind, then the rates of murders would not be as high, or the rate of corrupt politicians would be less. However, there are still those individuals in the world that still shows kindness. The present world system is evil. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. And this is the King James Version, and it reads, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Joshua 24:15 reads, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Therefore, as saints, we cannot hold on to the things of this world. We are to despise and abhor what is evil. That's Psalms 97:10. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the soul of his saints. He delivered them out of the hands of the wicked. Love what is righteous. Proverbs 10:25, as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Proverbs 10:30 said, the righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Refuse to yield to your worldliness, John 15:19. If we were of the world, then the world would love us. However, because we are not of this world, the world hates us. God has chosen us out of the world. Therefore, the world hates us. This world operates on the system of greed, selfishness, power, envy, hatred, revenge, immodesty, immorality, filthy language, ungodly entertainment, drugs and alcohol, worldly companions, which is a contradiction to how God operates. God operates based on the scriptures. For example, Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, a willing mind, a mind of love for the Lord, a ready mind, a united mind, and a made-up mind to live a life of holiness and to walk in the will of God. God's operating system is that of love. John 3:16 is the perfect example. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to read and meditate on God's word. Meditation is to think quietly about God, the creator, to think about God, the problem solver, and a time to examine our principles. It helps us gain such significant insight and understanding that we may surpass even those who instruct us. Psalms 119:99, this is the King James Version, it says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Growing in grace means continuous renewal of our relationship with Christ. This is done by renewing my mind with the following. Cultivation, that's thinking and meditating on the word. Time, spending quality time in God's presence. Forgiveness, act for it daily. Relationship, have an intimate relationship with God, talking with him daily, reading his word daily, and fellowshipping with him daily. I may not be what I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. Thank you, God, for what you've done for me. Just look how far God has brought us. Look how far we've come. We can truly say today that I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Thank you, God, for what you've done, for what you're doing, and what you're going to do. Growing in grace is a process of daily walking with the Creator, allowing the Lord to strip us to our bare essentials so that he can pour into us. It takes the word of God to transform us into God's image, which his grace will supply. Here are seven aspects of God's grace that he supplies. One, God's grace is forgiveness. Romans 3:23-24 says, for all sin and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. This is what we think about most when we think of God's grace. It's forgiveness for our sin, the gift of salvation. The Bible teaches us that grace is a gift of God. Our mistakes, our sins, condemns us and separate us from God. But God doesn't leave us to deal with the consequences of our sin. On the cross, Jesus Christ displayed his great love for us by taking on what we deserve. The grace of God gives us what we need instead of what we deserve. In our time of need, God provides us with divine assistance. The act of grace is not what we deserve, but it's what we are in desperate need of. God's grace allows us to live in freedom from our sin and enter back into relationship with God. Two, God's grace is undeserved, but he gives it anyway. 2 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. The beauty of God's grace can only be fully understood when we realize how fallen, broken, and undeserving we are. Simply put, we do not deserve grace. We deserve death. But again, God gives us what we need instead of what we deserve. We cannot do anything to earn it. The results of work will never earn God's grace. It's important that we recognize this, that we are not entitled to God's grace, but it is God's good pleasure to give it to us. Whereas Jesus didn't go to the cross because we are worthy, but because he is good. We have done and can do nothing to earn God's grace. our own efforts and good behavior will always fall short. The Bible makes clear that the result of works on our own amounts to nothing. It's by the grace of God alone that we are saved. 3, God's grace is new every day. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. This is Psalms 103:8. We're striving to be perfect, but still we make mistakes. So therefore, God's grace is there to help us when we make those mistakes. Because we live in the flesh, sin is present. Therefore, we are in constant need of God's grace. And thankful his grace is with us every morning when we wake up. All our past sins, present sins, and future sins are covered when we put our faith in Jesus. That should not be an invitation to keep sinning, rather a way out of the cycle of sinning. God's grace is new every day, and that allows us to be transformed into his image. By the grace of God, we're not who we once was, but we are not fully there yet. We are in the process of being transformed. God's grace allows me to continue in this transformation process. When we mess up again today, I wake up to a new grace tomorrow. Whatever you have done, whatever you are doing, whatever you will do, God's grace is new every day. Not so you can keep on sinning, but so you can once again step into freedom. 4, God's grace adopts us into his family. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. So we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. 1 John 3:1-3. Throughout the Bible, you see God calling his followers his children. Apostle Paul says, we were adopted into God's family, Romans 8:15. God has shown his incredible love for us by bringing us into his family. Think of the implications of that, to be a child of God. The one who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present is your Father. If we can keep our focus on this, how we live our lives will change. God cares about us and is guiding us. We need not worry. We are his children, and God loves us. God's grace means we are God's children and therefore heirs to the throne. 5, God's grace brings us closer to our Father. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's John 14:6. Many views God's grace as a get out of hell free card or access to eternal life. But that misses the point. God's desire isn't to just spare you from pain. It's to reunite you with him. He wants the relationship that sin severed to be restored. The forgiveness of sin always allows this to happen. It doesn't just save us from hell. It reunites us with our Heavenly Father. Grace allows us to come back. Sin casts us away. It's created a chasm that kept us apart. Grace is the bridge that allows us to come back to the other side. It mends the wounds that sin caused. It forgives the mistakes that we have made. God's grace brings us back to the Father. God's grace allows us to live in freedom. For sin shall no longer be your masters, because you are not under the law, but under grace. That's Romans 6:14. We think freedom is doing whatever we want to do when we want to do it. That might appear to be freedom, but that kind of life doesn't set you free. It enslaves you. Grace frees us and allows us to live as God has intended. When people look at the rules, God gives his children many scoffs. Any good parent gives their children rules. not to hamper their fun or restrain their freedom, but to keep them safe and allow them to fully experience life. Guardrails on the side of the road are there to protect you from the dangers of careering off the road. The Holy Spirit gives us guardrails to keep us on the path of freedom. Freedom isn't the ability to do whatever you want. Freedom is living as God designed. God's grace means that we can live free from the shackles of sin. Titus 2 and 11, and this is the seventh, when God's grace is open to all. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Followers of Jesus are often stingy with grace, but God is not. He gives it to anyone and everyone that wants it. That's why songs like Amazing Grace exist, because it extends to even the worst of sinners. Every single human being on this planet is loved by God and has the offer of grace extended to them. All they have to do is accept it. As believers, we are not deserving of what Christ Jesus did for us on the cross, not one. We are all terribly broken and in need of grace. Therefore, we should show grace generously because we've been given grace generously. God's grace is for everyone. In conclusion, God's grace means that we must turn away from the things our lives used to be about. We have been given freedom through Jesus Christ. We have been saved from this world. Therefore, we can't go in two directions at the same time. Grace gives us a new life. Therefore, we have to leave the old behind. Another word for this is to repent. It often gets a bad rap, but that's because we don't really understand what it means. To repent means to rethink your life considering what Jesus has done, to turn from our worldly passions and return to God. It means to accept that you are sinful but dearly loved. It means to accept God's invitation to live in a better way. Remember, God's grace is open to all people. Let us pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly before your throne of grace. Lord God, we just thank you on this morning. Lord God, we thank you for waking us up, God. And Lord God, before we begin to ask you for anything, just allow us to thank you for who you are. You are truly the Lord of Lords. You are the King of Kings. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace. And we thank you on this morning. God, you are the Lion of Judah. And we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you for this word, God. We thank you for grace and mercy. We are saved by your grace, God. And we just thank you, Lord God, because, God, we thank you because it's unmerited favor, God. And we thank you on this morning. Lord God, I just thank you for all the listeners today, Lord God. We ask you, Lord God, to do something special for them, Lord God. Bless them, Lord God, one by one, name by name, God. And then, Lord God, look on my leaders today, God. Administrative assistant, Dr. Byron Gibbs and Lady Gibbs, Lord God. Look on my assistant pastor today, Lord God, Elder Johnson and Evangelist Johnson, Lord God. Oh, God, you know what they need, Lord God. Hallelujah. Supply the need, God. And then, Lord God, look on the mothers today, Lord God. Mother Moore, Lord God. Mother Garnett, Mother McCall, Mother Gibbs, God. Hallelujah. Mother Carpenter and Mother Luckett, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for Mother Norman and Mother Maxine today, Lord God. Look on Sister Christine in Texas, Lord God. Look on Pat over in Indiana, God. Go to Iowa, Lord God, and look on Devin today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, then go down to Mississippi and look on Haley today, God. Look on Cassie today, Lord God. Oh, God, we ask you to look on Elder Rogers today, Lord God. Touch his body, Lord God. You know what he need, God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Look on Dad Ellis this morning, Lord God. Touch his mind, God. Touch his body, God. Look on the deacons today, Lord God. Be with Deacon Grafton and Deacon Foundry, Lord God. Let them know that you're still there, God. Hallelujah. Deacon Luckett this morning, God. And then, Lord God, just look on the ministerial staff. Look on the ushers today, Lord God, the doorkeepers. Hallelujah. The special place in the house of God. Hallelujah. Look on the musicians, Lord God. Look on all your people because you said all souls are mine, God. And we just thank you today, Lord God. We had 10,000 tongues. It wouldn't be enough, God. We just thank you on today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Look on Tina in Vegas this morning, God. Hallelujah. Go with her and be with her, Lord God. And then, Lord God, we just ask you to just continue to supply your grace to us and for us, God. And then just be in everything that we say and do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio on today with your co-host, Terry Rogers. Tune in next week, same time, 9 o'clock, and I'll be back. And keep Dr. Terry in your mind, Lord God. Hallelujah. Continue to bless her and her future endeavors, God. Look on her mom and her dad on today, Lord God. Touch his body, God. Give him the strength that he needs. And we just ask you all to be blessed on today and enjoy your day on purpose.